Have you ever seen the Mojave Memorial Cross, which stands on the Sunrise Rock about 4 miles south of I-15? On, if you go from LA to Vegas, it's on the way there. And 6 miles north, probably I'm going to butcher this name, C-I-M-A, Chima? Chima, California. The original cross was erected in honor of a fallen U.S. veteran, war veteran, in 1934. It had a share of a problem. Of course, the people who do not like cross in the public land, they sued the government. It's against the ruling of the separation of church and state. So the law code told them to put the border on the top so nobody can see the cross. That was not good enough. So May 9th or the 10th, night of May 9th and 10th, 2010, somebody came over and cut that wooden cross down and took it away. Until it was in the legal limbo for many, many years, until a private group decided they're going to buy 2 acre land of this national park. And 2 acre land that's surrounding this cross. And they erected this metal cross so they cannot cut it down. And it's been preserved. This is not the only
legal cases like this around the country. Some of you guys heard about the Ten Commandments in Texas, Austin, Texas. Generally, atheists and ACLU, American Civil Liberty Union attorneys, don't mind about other religions' symbol, such as Buddha statue, Hindu goddess statue. They don't go after them in the lawsuit, or they don't try to destroy them. Certainly, they don't even think about touching Islam's crescent moon and the star, because they know that if they ever touch them, the Muslim people will come after them for their lives. But these people, the cross of Christ is open season. Why? Why do they take so much offense from the cross? It's not just atheists and ACLU lawyers who take offense of the cross. The message of the cross, which with all of its blood-soaked meaning, often brings a staunch resistance from the so-called liberal Christians. In 2012, Presbyterian Church USA, which is a very, very liberal denomination, they decided that they're going to ask the songwriters of the modern hymn, In Christ Alone. You may know that song. They asked the songwriters to change the lyrics from "Till on that cross as Jesus died," next phrase they wanted to change, "The wrath of God was satisfied." They want to change it to "Till on that cross as Jesus died, the love of God was magnified." And you may say, what's wrong with that? It sounds okay. However, when you eliminate the wrath of God, you're finding God as just loving God, but not holy and righteous God. Amen. Are you with me? You cannot deny the portion of God, two attributes of God, and just take one portion. In case you are not familiar with Christianity, let me quickly explain. People are sinners, whether you like to admit it or not. You are sinners, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for our sins on the cross, so he can take away all of our sins unto himself. Then he was buried in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. If he stayed there, he's just another self-appointed God in the grave, like many other quote-unquote gods. But he had audacity to overcome the death. He rose again. There's no other person in human history overcome death. You know what they say? There's two things for sure. One is IRS tax, and the other one is death. First one, you might be able to cheat. But the second one, I haven't seen anybody who cheat except two people. God allowed them. Elijah and Enoch. So, because he overcame the death and he's resurrected, we now have a hope beyond this life. Amen. On top of all, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, which is the power, which the representation of power and authority over everything in the universe. He's our advocate. He's our attorney, defense attorney. Are you with me? I like the Spanish translation of that portion, avocado. Is that correct? Advocate for us. He's representing us to the Father. Amen. See, I'm going to ask you the original question. Why is the cross offensive to the people? Let's make that personal. Why the cross offensive to you? If you are not taking offense from the cross, great. But if you are taking offense from the cross in your life, we're going to explain a little more. Then you have to wonder where you're standing with God. Let's stop here and pray. Father, we are asking you to speak to us and explain this very, very important fact of Christianity. We know that you die for our sins. But a lot of people think that it is just like a little picture, little blood coming out from you, and that's over. According to your word, people could not recognize him as human. You went through all that agony and horrible death for our sins. The death we deserve. The death we should have. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart and anoint our heart to understand your truth and anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. Father, we pray for President Obama for his salvation, whatever it takes to wake him up from his spiritual slumber. And we also pray for our troops and the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Wherever they are, you protect them, keep them safe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. If you have a handout Bible and you don't know where they are, there's a page number that will help you. 1 Corinthians is located in the New Testament behind the book of Romans. Verse 22. For the Jews request a sign, it's our memory verse, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preached Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. The cross during the time of Jesus was nothing more than a place to execute criminals. It's a place the vilest, the worst criminal died. And Christianity considered the cross as one of the most important facts in its face. It doesn't make a bit of sense to the unbelievers, but it is more than that. The real reason for the unbelievers' dislike or hatred for the cross of Jesus goes deeper than that. I find at least four of them. Let's start with the first fact, first reason. The cross of Jesus offends unbelievers because it disapproves secular humanism. Secular humanism. One book before the 1 Corinthians is Romans. Go there, please. Romans chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Did you see that? No one is righteous. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. You see that the cross of Jesus, contrary to many, the main liberal wish of the deification of humanity, as well as supposedly goodness of human heart. Contrary to their ideology, the Bible clearly says that there is no one righteous and good. And you may say, well, I'm good. Have you ever lied? If you say no, you just lied. Everyone lies. Everyone sins. To God, your tiny little white lie is as horrible as the worst con artist's lie. Your small sin is as big as a murder. So you and I are doomed. On top of all, we are born with a sinful nature. Second fact, the second reason why the people hate cross is the cross of Jesus offends unbelievers because it cuts straight against the grain of a worldly wisdom. Again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. I want you to notice a couple words that I'm going to point out to you. But God has chosen. Did you get that? Has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You see, the intellect and the social elite of our country and as well as all around the world cannot fathom why God would choose the people from the bottom rung of the society. And to them, they are nothing. To them, they are discarded. And they are nobodies. But God stooped down, painted them, and made them into masterpieces. And how dare God would do such a thing against their mind? Out of His grace, listen to me, please. Out of His grace, God stooped down and saved the people of nobody, the nothings, the discarded. That's us. He has chosen the foolish things, the weak things, the base, and the despised. The word has chosen is with the meaning of a decisive intention from God's part. It has nothing to do with the human part. Why God bother to make any of us valuable? God will not tolerate the proud and their intention. So God steps on the egos of the intellect and social elite by lifting up the dregs of the society as honored citizen of heaven and His kingdom. Please listen carefully. Pride is a self deification. Let me say one more time. Pride is a self-deification. And you may say, well, I wouldn't go that far. I'm just think that I'm better than other people. And probably you're thinking you're better than God too. It is that competitive drive within the richer and the clever and better looking and more powerful than someone else. We like the feeling of the recognition that comes from the standing above the rest. As we seek these pleasures in everything we do, including some of the ministry we do, unfortunately, we do this kind of thing. Before I got saved by Jesus, in my dumb opinion, I thought God needed me on his side to get the things done. Because I was rather innovative, I thought I was smart. Was I ever stupid? Joke was on me. God didn't need me. I needed him desperately. Third reason people reject and despise the cross is the cross of Jesus offends unbelievers because it says to the world, you are a sinner. Romans 3:23, please. It says, for all, can you say it with me? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Cross of Jesus speaks to the people about their sins. Sins of disobedience and sins of immorality to God. Folks, we are living in the age of immorality. Do we not? If you think that we don't live in the age of the immorality, turn the TV on. Everything is about sex. Everything is about cheating. Everything is about adultery and homosexuality. More perversion, the better. The critics will give a thumbs up. If the movie makers make a home family movie, decent movie, critics will go like this. Why? Why does it have to be a perversion? Because that's what the people like. Do you know, in California, of course, you know, our forefather tilt the country like this, all the nuts and fruit cake went to the left coast. You're from California. Good. Welcome to the real land. In California, if a man wake up in the morning, he decide that I'm a woman. He just think that he is a woman. He can walk right into the woman's public restroom, elementary school, junior and senior high, and college dorm, anywhere. It's not illegal. It's not criminal. It's not crime. If that's not bad enough, the Educational Department of the State of California are trying to start the sexual education from kindergarten, sponsored by Planned Parenthood. Who else? Tell me that is not immorality. Tell me that is not perversion. Go back to verse 23. I ask you to repeat that word, all. Do you see that word, extra word behind that all? All, with the exception of your name. Anyone? Any of your Bible says that way? That means without an exception, every one of us from the first couple, Adam and Eve, everyone in this room are sinners. Say with me, I am a sinner. Any objection? Okay, we all agree. We all deserve the judgment from the holy and righteous God. We all deserve death on the cross. Instead of him, not Jesus. And we all deserve hell as a punishment. Some of you are thinking, I didn't come to church to be talked down like this. This is reality. Right. You want to know the truth? You just heard. Fourth reason why the people despise the cross of Jesus is because it opposes human effort to achieve their own salvation. And turn to left, John chapter 14, verse 6. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in red because it's Jesus speaking. Jesus said to him, I am one of the ways. Does he say that? No, I am the way. That means only one. The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. People in general would like to think that they are going to go to heaven after they die. Whether they are agnostic, even the atheists, even the ACLU lawyers, they think that they're going to go to heaven after they die. First of all, majority of people are scared to death of dying. And the idea of not going to heaven but going to hell where there is eternal fire and in pain for the rest of their eternal life does not sit with them very well. So they do anything to make their way to heaven instead of simply submitting to Jesus' way. You see, the only thing separates us from God and keep us out of heaven is our sin. This is why our greatest need is to have our sins forgiven and cleansed. Say with me, forgiven and cleansed. All right, then only then can we be reconciled to God. Say, reconciled to God. And go be with Him throughout eternity. Jesus did all that for us. Are we thankful to Him or what? But how is this possible? No matter how good we are, we can never erase our own sins. Because spiritually we are bankrupt. You might be very rich. If you are very rich, I want to talk to you after service. Just kidding. No, I don't want to talk to you. Only God can do this. And that is what He did by sending Jesus onto this world for us. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the cross, there is no forgiveness from God. All right, we talk about the people who do not believe. Let's talk to the people who think that they are Christian, because self-appointed Christian, and then backsliders. And some of you are already cringing. I tell you, I don't care if you were a Sunday school teacher, or you've been in Sunday school when you were a kid, or you're a deacon, former elders, or even a pastor. If you don't have the personal encounter, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you haven't received Jesus into your heart as your Savior and Lord, you do not go to heaven. And you may say, well, I want to go to heaven without Jesus. Sorry, not according to my Bible, not according to the Bible on your lap. We have a great deal of worship in America. But then a lot of them are not true worship. As a matter of fact, I read an article from the Christian magazine very recently. And one of the well-known worship leaders around the world, they wrote many songs, this particular group. And this worship leader said, we sing too much about the cross. Seriously? Go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who has said to me, God, Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out the demons in your name, and does many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, and you who practice lawlessness. Just because you think you are religious, that doesn't mean anything. Let's make a good example. Pharisees fast twice a week. Pharisees give their tithe without an exception. And they were the Orthodox, and they were the fundamentalist. And they believed the scripture from cover to cover. Yet Jesus, in most severe language, denounced them and indicated that they were not saved. If somebody was a religious, they were religious people. There is no pride in the world as horrible as religious pride. And then it gives a false sense of security. Did you get that? Let it sit in your heart for a while. Let me repeat one more time. There's no pride in the world as horrible as a religious pride, and it gives a false sense of eternal security. I know I'm making a lot of enemies right here now. You might have been dedicated Christian in the past, and for whatever reason, this world and your compromise to its influence got you to backslide from the Lord. You might say, well, I'm not a backslider. I still believe in God. I still love God. I go to church once in a blue moon. I haven't seen the blue moon yet, though. If that's the case, all right, listen. Compare yourself now, spiritually, to where you were when you were following the Lord wholeheartedly. All of a sudden, you might realize that you are a backslider. If you are honest with yourself, it is no wonder you've been taking offense from the cross of Jesus. Do you need a more example? And probably you are thinking, no, not really, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Here are the list of some typical symptoms of a backslidden person. Though this is not comprehensive, see if your mindset is matching with this. Symptom number one, you come up with many excuses why you cannot read a Bible and have a daily devotion every day. Symptom number two, you'd rather hang out with worldly and carnal people than godly people because it appeals to your flesh. Symptom number three. You start to find fault. Did you get that? You start to find faults with other Christians and blame them for not wanting to be with them. It's always somebody else's fault. Symptom number four. Going to church become burdensome. And you feel that it is not necessary to go to church services and Bible studies that once you could not have enough. Symptom number five. You start to lower your high godly standard that to accommodate your compromise with the world. Symptom number six. You're mad at me for what I've been speaking about. And you don't like this church anymore. You feel like I've singled you out. No, I'm not. Because I don't know where you are spiritually. Being mad at me is a proof of your backsliding. Am I right? However, Jesus still loves you very much, but your love for him got cold and your heart become hard. Losing your first love for Jesus is a root of all compromise and sin. Let me say one more time. Losing your first love for Jesus is at the root of all compromise and sin. If you have fallen, repent, return to the passion for the Lord Jesus once you had. Three applications. Number one, we gain nothing but God's displeasure if we seek to remove the offense of the cross. Application number two. Yet the cross offered the only solution for the depth of the man's sin to God. We cannot make our way to heaven without Jesus. Application number three. Christians must be on guard all the time, growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus through the Word of God. This requires diligence. Don't ever think that I will find the time. If I can, I will find the time to have a devotion and prayer. You will never find that time. You make time. It demands disciplines and priorities. Oh, how we all need this desperately. Please remember this. Nobody automatically drifts into spiritual growth and stability. But anyone can drift out of dedication and growth. By the way, God has a great sense of humor. First of all, He made Paul Ostrowski and Jerry Hemby. And then He added one line in the Bible. He said, the Pharisees came to Pilate after Jesus died and asking for the guards. And Pilate told the Pharisees about the security of Jesus' tomb. He said, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." My question is, how'd it go, guys? He got out, didn't he? Folks, the tomb of Jesus is empty. Amen. He's not there. We have a hope in Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is risen. Amen? Amen.